Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Garrity. And as you can tell by the title, this week's episode is going to be an advice episode, just my hot takes on everything. I don't even know if they're specifically hot takes, just my opinions on all of your questions, situations, because if there's something about me, it's that I always have an opinion. I was actually inspired to do this episode because I was recently told by one of my friends that I give good advice. She might have even said, "Gretchen, you give great advice." And it went right to my head, okay? No kidding. But I have been thinking about it, and not to like pat myself on the back, but I feel like I've gotten that from several friends over the years. Like, "I always turn to you for advice," or "You always know what to do or what to say," or like, "You give good advice." And now that's becoming my personality, of course, that I give good advice. And so I thought I should do an episode dedicated to giving you guys advice, since clearly I have the best advice out there. Obviously, take it all with a grain of salt. It's just biased towards me and my experience, my opinions. But I really feel like with a lot of my girlfriends that actually recently, especially, we've been saying that I'm Dr. Phil. I just feel like I'm the friend that my friends turn to when they have a question, want an opinion, want advice. I'm actually thinking about like several of my friends right now sending me voice notes, leaving me a voicemail, texting me, calling me, FaceTiming, whatever, being like, "Hey, I just want your advice on this." And now that I'm thinking, I am like so honored. I'm feeling very, yeah, that's so sweet of my friends that they take my advice into consideration. And I just like really appreciate it that they think I have a good idea for whatever the situation may be. I don't know. It's just dawning on me now that I'm like, wow, that's like so, I don't even know the feeling. I'm just honored is all I can say. Or I'm like, wow, like thanks for trusting your situation in life with my opinion over here. Do you really want my advice? But yeah, I just feel like I said, I always have an opinion one way or another. I'm a pretty decisive person. And pretty much always, I know what I think in a situation or what I want to do. And sometimes there's, you know, like gray areas where I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know. Or it could seem like stuck between a rock and a hard place, or like lose, like some, I don't, I'm just thinking in some situations, for example, maybe like family things, like, do I say this? Is it not worth saying it? There's like tension, stuff like that. But I am so like, I don't know the word. I just prioritize my life and well-being and autonomy and what I want to do. And like, I'm a people pleaser in some ways, but I also, that's why I feel like my people-pleasing friends always come to me and I'm like, no, this is what you're going to do. You just, I'm very, I guess the word I'm looking for, phrase I'm looking for, is I'm very apt to like stick up for myself and others. I was saying with a friend the other day, me and my twin sister will stick up for, well, actually no. I tell Lucy that she needs to be better at sticking up for herself, but it's so funny because I feel like some of you may relate to this, that I've gotten better. Like I'll always stick up for myself now pretty much, unless I'm like totally taken off guard, you know, like in a situation with a stranger, let's say, and it happens really quick and then you're kicking yourself and you're like, oh, I wish I said this, or I stood my ground, or you know what I mean, later on. Sorry, this is like so vague, but I'm just thinking about how I'm good at sticking up for myself, but definitely others. And it's so funny, I'm saying you guys could relate maybe to my twin sister, who I feel like struggles for sticking up for herself because she's such a people pleaser, but will be the first to stand up for a friend. So isn't that funny? Like we all need to treat ourselves as if we're our best friend and how we would treat them and the advice they would give them. Like, I feel like especially in relationships, I'm just thinking now, like all, you know, of my friends, whenever they want relationship advice or whatever. And it's like, Okay, well, you know what you should do, because what would you tell me if I was you and in this situation? It's always like, oh my gosh, dump him. Like, you need to not put up with this, blah, blah, blah. And then when you're in that situation, you're like, oh, it's a lot easier said than done. So anyway, that is just me explaining why I think I have the right criteria to give good advice. Basically, I've just been told that. And yeah, again, if there's something about me, I will have an opinion about your situation. So before we get into that, I thought we could just do a little catch up on life. My last episode was with my twin sister, Lucy, right? Oh yeah, we had that great chat. You guys should listen to that if you haven't. And that just goes to show, I was going to say my first update, is we have been so social this summer. Like, maybe too social, where I'm like, okay, a little bit, you know, we need to do a little more work, a little less play. And no, of course, I don't regret any of that. It's just hard for me to focus on any work if we have people visiting. And I was posting my Instagram stories yesterday, catching up. I actually got a bunch of DMs being like, hello, are you okay? Because I didn't post on my Instagram in like a week or a YouTube video or something. And I'm like, whoa, I need to tell everyone, like, I'm fine. It's just hard for me to be active on social media when I'm trying to be present with family and friends. And I feel like we're with family and friends every day and I'm present with them. So then I'm not on social media. You know what I mean? And I don't regret any of it, because of course I'll look back on the summer and be so happy for all the times we had with family and friends, being social. But no, it's been so good. And I was saying how I feel like there are more nights here than not that there's more nights here with people visiting Max and I than just Max and I, just the two of us. But it's made it so fun. And again, I wouldn't change it, especially when it's nice out and we can like go to the beach, walk Brody, do all the things. Like, I just feel like Cape Cod summer, there's so many like bars and restaurants and ice cream shops and shopping and stuff like that. So it's been really good. But yeah, I feel like with that, just the challenge of me being like, okay, wait, I need some resemblance of like a schedule, normalcy, work-life balance. Normally, it's the other way, you know, where you're like work, 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 and you're like, where's the balance with like seeing my friends and family? And I feel the opposite recently, where I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone get out of my house. I need to sit here for like 12 hours and catch up on work on my computer, which is actually what I did yesterday. I literally did not leave this desk because I'm like, I have legit so much to do. Sorry, I feel like I keep gasping for breath. I need to start cutting this out. I feel like I'll be talking and then I don't take a breath and then I'm like So yeah, that's been fun. I feel like for good reason. I was gonna say we've been lucky, so many friends and family have visited, but I also feel like right as you get a house on Cape Cod for the summer, it's so fun on the Cape. Everyone's like, can we visit? So it's been so good. Like, friends, fam, everybody, Max's fam is close by, so we spend a lot of time with them. And I've also just been getting into the groove with all the homeowner things that I didn't expect. And it's crazy because there's so many little things and it all adds up quick. And I just feel like I will get more, it'll get more seamless. I'll get more used to things. But as of now, like, I think there's like a learning curve with your mortgage, your taxes, the maintenance your home requires, how often that these things need to happen, how much money, like, you just have to settle in, you know. Furnishing your spaces just feels like it never ends. And I'm happy when I was posting about this yesterday, I was like, legitimately, you guys, but also I think it's been like a learning process because the home we're in is probably double the size of where I lived before. So obviously it's just like some growing pains, like a lot more cleaning, furnishing, things like that. And I was just posting my story being like, wait, legitimately, if any of you own a home and work full time and have children, how do you do it? It feels like taking care of a house, like cleaning it, all the maintenance, paying for it, landscaping, like X, Y, and Z. Like, there's like a million more examples I can't even think of. Just taking care of a home, like cooking, all the things, is a full-time job. So then how do you have time for a full-time job and raising children, which is also full-time? It's like you have three full-time jobs. So I'm just like, how do you guys do it? And I just got a lot of DMs being like, oh no, same, I feel this way, or I do have kids and it is so challenging, and like, thanks for recognizing, whatever. And I just feel like I got a lot of tips from people being like, yeah, basically outsource as much as you can if you can afford it. Hire cleaners, hire landscapers, like hire as much help as you can, because it is so much. So Yes, that's that. Just getting in the groove with everything. Been traveling a little bit. I actually posted tonight. I'm going to check right now on my phone. Because I think this is one. Yeah, this is one that went up tonight. My Nantucket vlog on YouTube, because Max and I visited my bestie Louisa and her boyfriend, his family home on Nantucket. That was like 2 weekends ago now. And we literally had the best time, you guys. It was so much fun. It was like a ball. That was one of my most favorite memories of summer so far. I was like, okay, same time next week, because it's so beautiful and there's so much to do and food and going out. And yeah, it was just the best. And we're actually about to go to Montauk this upcoming weekend. Max and I are going to visit Brooke and Danielle and Katie. They actually got this same Airbnb. I don't know if it's Airbnb, house that they rented last summer in Montauk. And we're like, you guys should come this weekend. And there's going to be a bunch of their friends and boyfriends and stuff. And so it's just going to be a big group of us. And I literally can't wait. It's actually going to be so much fun. So that's this weekend. Oh, the weekend after that, we're going to Newport, Rhode Island for the weekend again. We did that over Memorial Day weekend. We have like so many little travels coming up. Actually, the weekend after that, first weekend of August, we're going to be in Wisconsin for a wedding. Yeah, it's all happening. And I think I've just been kind of sad recently. Not sad, but it's just dawned on me how quick summer is. Like, if you think about it, if you just think like June, July, August, what, that's 12 weekends in total of summer. Like, that's literally so quick. You can only have 12 little weekend trips. Summer just goes by so quick, and it needs to slow down, because I love it and I've been having so much fun, and I don't want to have to leave this house because we won't be here in the fall. We're going to go wherever Max signs, which he hasn't even signed yet. That's a whole other story. But I feel like I already know this is going to be how it is right when I'm settled in this house, being like, okay, it's furnished how I want. My countertops are in, you know, I added wallpaper, whatever. It's going to be end of August, time to leave. But yeah, that's another update. My countertops are coming in soon. Kitchen counters, I'm so excited. They get templated soon and will get installed shortly after that, which I can't wait. It's just going to feel like a lot more me in the kitchen. Got a new dresser for our bedroom, which I was worried about that we wouldn't have room for a dresser in our room because it's kind of tight and it fits perfect. It could have even been a little bit bigger. I don't know what I was thinking, and it's helped a ton with storage. Also found a bunch of new furniture pieces at Home Goods, like little side tables for one of my guest rooms, lamps. Literally all of my lamps are from Home Goods, you guys. They have the best lamps. So check that out if you are looking to furnish your place, if you need new lamps, new decor, stuff like that. I think that's most of the updates as of recent. Now here we are today. Personally, I had the best solo day. Max was gone like 12 hours today. He won't even be back for a while now, I'm sure. And obviously, I love him so much and I love our time spent together. Don't get me wrong. But I was kind of excited, like, okay, the whole day is my oyster. I was filming a vlog and I was saying that. And I was like, yeah, the day is my oyster. What is the phrase? The world is my oyster today. Yes, that's the phrase. And I just have the whole day to do whatever I want to do on my schedule. And it's been lovely. Brody and I had a nice long walk. I worked out, did a soul cycle class, swam in the ocean. I read, ran some errands, got my car inspected. Now here we are. And yeah, it's just been the best day. Now it's the evening, the sun's setting. We're having a good chat and I'm ready to give some good advice. But before that, you guys always know that I say a happy quote or happy idea or just, I guess, an idea or quote in general. I think today's more of like advice, and I also say something that I'm happy about this week. So what I'm happy about this week is, like I said from all my updates, I'm happy about it really starting to feel like home here. I also had a moment this morning when I was vlogging and I was kind of emo. I was like, wow, I am just feeling really grateful and blessed, and I'm almost like mad at myself all the times I complain about like this and that and home and stuff. And I'm like, I am so lucky. I'm living my dream life. I need to remind myself of that, lead with gratitude. And yeah, I'm just getting settled and it feels good. Also excited about going to Montauk this weekend. My idea really to share with you this week is just my own thoughts, my own advice. We're jumping right on into the advice. And I was thinking about how I want all of you to hear this, that only you. I'm going to try to put it into words the best I can. I think you'll understand the gist. But what I'm trying to say is that you are the only one that can live your life, right? No one else can live your life for you, and no one else is going to. Like, you're the only one that can really motivate you, decide what you want to do, live your life on your own terms. You're the only one that can make decisions for yourself, no matter if you listen to my advice, your friend, family's advice, everyone's opinions. Did I say device? Advice. Like, you have to prioritize you and what you want to do. You can only decide the type of person you want to be. I'm just trying to remind you of your own autonomy, right? I'm actually thinking of my soul cycle class, like I mentioned earlier, that the instructor was saying how often when you are motivated to do something, like think, say it's like a new business adventure, whatever, your mind immediately goes to, well, that person knows this and that, what I don't know, they have more experience than me, I couldn't possibly do that, blah, blah, blah. Like, I almost think it's natural to question yourself, but if you try to push yourself to not lead with doubt first, and I'm sorry, I'm being so vague, but hopefully that this can apply to your life, because this applies to, like, honestly everything. Instead of asking yourself, oh, I don't think I could, reframe your mindset and shift to asking yourself, why not me? Instead of like, oh, like, that couldn't be me, ask like, why not? So yeah, I just think about a lot of like advice I give stems from this. Like, you have to, again, like, be strong enough and brave enough and decisive enough and stick up for yourself enough to live life on your own terms and not be wavering in that and not settle, not all those things. I think you guys can hear what I'm getting at. And I'm sure you'll hear this sort of idea from me throughout the advice I have to give. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about AG1. You already know I've been taking AG1 for years now, and it's just the best daily nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. It helps my gut health and digestion, my immune system, increase energy, and so much more. I also just really like the routine of taking it first thing when I wake up every morning. It really just starts my day out right, and it's one scoop of powder mixed with water. Every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients. I remember the first thing I noticed when I first started taking AG1 years ago was that it would give me an energy boost throughout the day. It's hard for me to keep up with the supplement routine that comes with a bunch of different products, which is why AG1 is so nice, since it's been such an easy habit to incorporate into your life. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/happyhour. That's drinkag1.com/happyhour. Check it out. Now let's get back into the episode. So, first up, I got a long kind of story DM to me, and the rest of this was in the question box, so a little bit like shorter of stories, but here we go, jumping on in. And they're not really in any specific order, just kind of all over. Some that I thought were similar I put together, but here we go. And I'm going to keep it anonymous, I was about to say her name. Okay, this girl says, I need advice. Our college friend group only sees this one girl, let's call her Katie, if we travel to see her in New York City. She refuses to leave her area of, this is really specific, so maybe I'll just leave that out. She refuses to leave her area of New York City, let's say. And she even complains if we try to go into Manhattan. If we plan another group trip to someone else's city, she'll say she'll go, and then she bails last minute every single time. Okay, I already know my opinion on this. I love spending time with her, but I'd love for Katie to experience, I'm like, wait a minute, is that her real name? No, that's the name you gave her. I'd love her to experience our group's post-grad cities, since we all move somewhere different. Any advice? Thanks, Gretchen. Love listening to your pod. Oh, thank you for tuning in. And my advice is to be honest with her. Be honest with Katie. And I just think in all these situations, I feel like girls especially can be really non-confrontational, and so you kind of like dance around it and are just like, okay, and people pleasing, and just be like, okay, no worries, it's fine with me. Whereas what I've learned is, I feel I'm very generalizing here, but I feel like a lot of times guys are more confrontational and say, I'm just thinking of like how I've seen Max and his buddies operate, right? If this was Max and his friend post-grad, And he was kind of hurt, feeling like, okay, this one friend, we only see if we go there. Like, he won't visit anyone else. He always bails. Like, if you have a friend that's, like, flaky and bailing, like, nothing feels worse. It feels like icky. You're just like, oh, like, that doesn't feel good. I feel like immediately Max would be like, oh, what? Do you hate us or something? Is it not worth traveling here? Like just fully address it head on and be like, you know what I mean? Be like, and I would just be like, hey, like, it seems like you, like, bail a lot last minute. Or, like, maybe is she scared of planes? I don't know. Is it, like, the travel you're scared of? Is it, like, it doesn't feel worth, like, you could be like, it really hurts my feelings. Like, I feel like we all come to see you. But you could just say, like, I feel like, you know, not put it on her, but just, like, if it feels like to me that, well, then I guess you're talking about her. It feels like to me that it's not a priority to come and see me. Like, I don't feel like a priority kind of thing. Because that would make me sad, too, if I only ever visit my friends, but they would never visit me. Oh, especially the bailing. Like, I would be like, at least be honest. Like, she could be like, hey, up front, I know we're all going to, I don't know, Denver, but you guys know I hate planes. Or, you know, I'm really, like, strapped for cash right now. Or I just signed a new lease. I just bought a car. I just moved for a number of reasons. Like, I don't want to spend this money on this travel. Like, to just be up front. But bailing last minute and saying that's kind of like a crappy friend move. So yeah, my advice is to confront her and yell at her. No, I'm kidding. No, but actually just communicate like how you feel. Like in all these situations, I feel like a lot of times it can be answered with like just be honest with how you feel and then you can go from there, because she might not even realize that you feel this way. And she could be like, oh, what? Like, I didn't know that bothered you. Like, I really did always have plans come up last minute and so I'd cancel, but if it really like means as much to you, I don't know. You know what I mean? I just feel like you have to kind of start a conversation, because I hate that with friends when everyone like feels a certain way. And then you're just kind of like walking on eggshells and you're like, oh, this is like always a situation, you know, but nothing feels worse than a flaky friend. I'm thinking of like several times where I've dealt with that, where I would get so excited to see a friend and then I would start to like knock in my hopes up and I would be like, you know what? There's always something. And then time and time again, they would flake. And well, I don't know if it would get to this, but now I'm thinking of me personally in that situation. I was just like, you know what? It became clear to me that like it was very one-sided and I felt like I was making them a priority and trying to keep in touch with them. And if it wasn't going both ways, that obviously our friendship would just become more distant. And that was fine with me because I was like, I'm making this person a priority. If they don't want to make me a priority, then do I want to be that close with them anyway? Do they really have my best interest in mind? Sorry, I'm talking so much about this one, but it just kind of like fizzled out naturally and we grew apart. So yeah, but if you don't want that to happen again, just like bring it up with them and be honest. Okay, next up, this says, they just wrote, how to feel comfortable doing things by myself. This is great because I also was thinking about this. Not great. This is good timing, you could say, because I was thinking about this when I was vlogging today, because I was saying how I was so excited for my solo day. And I was like, wow, I have really come a long way. I feel like I have had podcast episodes dedicated towards independence and how I found my independence and all that, because I really, really, really used to struggle with it, if you guys didn't know. Having deja vu, or I feel like I'm repeating myself because I was saying in the vlog earlier, but like literally until I was 22, I didn't even realize that it was an issue that I couldn't be alone. And I think it was partially growing up with a twin sister, always rooming with a bunch of friends. But yeah, I was like 22 post-grad and realized when my bestie roommate was leaving for the weekend, I'm like, wait a minute, where are you going? Like, I can't be here alone. I don't know what to do. And it would make me so anxious spending time alone because I just wasn't used to it. And I really had to learn how to enjoy my own company and spend time on my own. And I think it first dawned on me that I was becoming good at it, like probably 2 years into my journey, probably like fall. Actually, might have been when 1 year, like fall of 2020 or fall of 2021, where I remember I was in Pennsylvania and I had a whole day to myself, maybe even a whole weekend at that point. And I had the best day. I like deep cleaned my entire apartment. I self-tanned. I probably took a bath. I did so much self-care. I was watching a movie. I think I ordered pizza. I lit candles. And I was like, I literally had the best day. And it's funny. I think a part of it too is just growing up, because I am such an extroverted person. But I find myself as I grow up needing time alone to recharge. And I never felt that way before. maybe that came with learning to love time by myself, that I realized like, oh, I like this time on my own and it makes me feel, you know, more, I guess, charged, more ready to take on social time with others. And it just took time and practice. That's my best advice. And to feel comfortable doing things by yourself, you just got to start doing things by yourself and you will get used to it over time. Because I'm thinking about the first time I sat even in like a Starbucks by myself or like a Panera and ate lunch. Like it sounds so simple, but those things used to give me so much anxiety and I just had to start somewhere and realize that if I'm thinking of other people looking at me and judging me, I'm alone, I'm weird, thinking anything of the sort of me or feeling like scared or like in danger, that was just in my head probably mostly. And also what helps me is realizing that everyone has their own life going on. And if you're worried about being alone, of like people judging you or thinking anything of you, stop thinking that they're thinking of you because they're thinking about themselves. I guarantee it. Most people are just thinking about themselves. Everyone has a lot going on. And so that's helped me a lot too growing up, because I feel like in high school, you are so worried about what everyone thinks of you. And as you grow up, you like let go of that. And what's helped me so much is realizing that no one's thinking about you because they're thinking about themselves. And like sometimes they are thinking about you and maybe being like, oh, she is. But like also I would never judge someone. If I'm like, oh, that girl's sitting alone in Starbucks, she probably has her laptop out or is like reading, you know, in this day and age anyway. Or if not, she's just drinking her coffee. I'm like, look at that queen. Self-care, solo day, solo date, coffee date. Like look at her go, being independent. So just start slow. And like for me, I still don't know if I could go. I mean, I probably could. It just might feel kind of weird, like to a full sit down, like fancy restaurant, like Del Frisco's and be like table for one. It would feel like I'm on a date with like my server or something because I feel like they come over a bunch. But start slow. Like don't start there. Start Starbucks. You could even start, because like literally for me, it started with like even going through like the drive-thru by myself, even running errands by myself, go through the drive-thru by yourself, go to the grocery by yourself. And slowly but surely you will get used to doing things on your own. You might enjoy it. I love a solo day of like running errands out and about. Like I probably prefer doing groceries or errands by myself anyway, because I can take my time. Don't have to worry like, oh, Max is hungry, we have to go home for lunch. Or like he's bored in here, we have to leave, you know? So yeah, you can do it, queen. I found my way over time and with practice, and you can too. This says, after moving in with my boyfriend, how to be apart for weekend trips and holidays. Okay, this also seems a little bit like independence focused, being alone, but I totally get that because it's a little different in the way that like you're so used to being there with someone and being home with someone in your apartment. So if they're away for the weekend or holiday and you're there alone, you're like, whoa, I'm alone. But it's good for your relationship. Trust me, time apart, I think, is really good. What's the phrase? Distance makes the heart grow fonder. And in that case, not even like distance relationship, but just like distance of a couple hours or a weekend or a day, it does make the heart grow fonder and it'll be that much sweeter when you're back together. But again, it's like a learning curve, just getting used to it. I'm sure if you live together for a year and then, especially if it's like during COVID, right, and you're not traveling, and then you go away for the weekend, you're like, whoa, this is weird, different. I miss them. They kind of feel like a security blanket in a way. But just know, again, that it's good for your relationship, and you'll get used to it in the groove of it. And it's so funny when I see things like this now, like how to be okay for a day without my boyfriend. I'm like, what? I love my days without Max. Like I said today, I love it. I just get to focus on me. I'm on my own schedule. I don't have to think about anyone else. I get to be very selfish. It's lovely. No, but I just think about how if you're in this boat, you must be maybe like newer into a relationship, or just like how I did struggle with independence and being on your own. Because quite honestly, almost 5 years into our relationship, I love a weekend apart. If I'm here by myself, if he's away for a weekend, if I'm away for a weekend, I feel like it's so nice to experience things on my own, practice my independence, be with friends, be with family. For holidays, right? Like we have no problem If he wants to be with his family for a holiday, I want to be with my family. That doesn't bother me. And I think it's good for us. And, you know, we just kind of go like holiday by holiday, depending. Like, I could be at his for a holiday, he could be at mine. But I think being apart is also fine and good and dandy. And again, I just like love it after being together for so long. And if you're together, if you live together, if you're together like most of the time, I feel like these little trips, holidays, weekends apart, again, are really good for a relationship and feel kind of nice. Like, it's like, oh, I just get to like do my own thing, be with my mom, be with my sister, be with my friends. Like, I always love it. Not to say that you don't miss your partner. I feel like that's normal. I feel like after a weekend away, I do miss Max, but again, it's even better when we're back together. So you can do it. And just know, if you're sad about your weekend apart right now, that one day, if you're together forever, you'll be craving a weekend apart. You'll be like, get out of my hair. No, kidding. But I just, clearly you can tell by the way I'm talking about it, I just really have come to love my alone time. I'm so proud of myself. This says remote work and the best way to keep mentally balanced with it. These are so written so like in short form because they're in my little question box. But basically the idea is how to keep mentally balanced with remote work. So that's hard. I'm not the best person to ask, even though I should be. I've worked remotely for, you know, 11 years. Working remotely is convenient. It has pros and cons. Very convenient being able to be home, working from anywhere, right? That's such a positive of it. But a negative is, when are you ever not working? Do you ever like turn it off? Are you ever mentally balanced with being like, okay, shut the laptop, move on? So I have some tips, which is to have your own space in your home that you're working, whether that's an office. For me, don't really have an office in this place. It's more so just a desk spot for working in our living room. An office with like a closed door would probably feel better, so that when I'm up away from my desk, close the door, it's like, okay, my brain can shift into normal mode. But if I'm sitting in my office at my desk, that you're kind of like in work mode, you know? But yeah, it is mentally challenging because it feels like, do I ever turn this off? Or it can be even mentally challenging in the other way if you're having a hard time focusing at home, if you're distracted by your pet or your kitchen or the chores around you or your partner. I'm just thinking about what distracts me. I'm like, oh, the kitchen's right there. I'm going to go grab a snack. Oh, wait, now I feel like I should clean the kitchen. Oh, wait, now I'm just going to start this little laundry quick. Oh, wait, it's so nice out. I'm going to go lay in the sun. I'm going to go walk birdie. I'm going to go read. I'm going to go hang out with Max. I could think of a million things to do but work. So you just have to set boundaries for yourself. If it's like a work spot boundary, if it's certain hours that work for you, if it's really flexible like mine, I was saying in my vlog today that what's worked for me is to work in the morning, have a little break in the afternoon, and then get back to it. That feels really good to me, instead of just making myself work like 6 hours straight, 8 hours straight, whatever it is. So yeah, I think it's just getting more structured with your schedule, with boundaries, and sticking to it. Finding what works for you, because we're all different, right? I'm thinking of my one friend that works remote, and I feel like she'll get up at 6 and crank out as much work as she can, maybe till like 10, 11 a.m. Boom. There's like 5 hours of work. She can have the most of her day, crank out some work at night, you know? So you just have to get into your groove and be like, okay, no matter what, it's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever it is, shutting off my computer, making my brain shut off. And for me, that's really hard to turn off work mode. So I will physically get out of my house, take Brody for a little walk, force my brain to shift into normal mode, relaxing. We're going to prepare dinner for the evening, read a book, chill on the couch, fold my laundry, you know, that kind of thing. So I feel like physically doing something to get yourself out of the working mode can help if you work from home. Those are things that help me. This says being okay with your ex moving on first. Oh, this is hard. This is really hard. Actually, I'm thinking of a friend of mine that this is kind of the situation. And I think if it's very quickly, you have to remind yourself, okay, this is probably not them actually moving on into their next relationship. Maybe it is, but maybe it's just a rebound and they're distracting themselves with their feelings of missing you. And they don't want to feel that hurt and that pain of like the loss of your relationship. If it's very quickly, I feel like this happens a lot with guys and girls too, finding a rebound. So you just have to remind yourself of that. Like, okay, they're distracting themselves because that's how much they're hurting, because that's how much I meant to them. So just like be real with yourself. This probably isn't going to be their forever person. And maybe it is, especially maybe if it's like a couple months in and you just feel like you're still really sad about the relationship, you're still grieving. That's normal and fine. But if they are like moving on, you just have to be like, okay, like you're allowed to be sad and be like, oh, that kind of stings or feels kind of weird. But I feel like, again, you have to think back to what I was saying earlier. You need to live your life on your own terms. If they are no longer in your life, who cares? It's none of your business. It's really not. And I mean, if you're like friends with them, I wouldn't recommend that. I think a clean break is the best. Focus on you, baby girl. But I guess if you're a friend, it's hard. But I would say like, it really isn't your business anymore. And so if you need to mute them, unfollow them, delete your pictures with them, whatever it is, like you don't really need to see that. I don't think that's going to help you in your journey forward. And yeah, I guess my biggest advice, if they're moving on, maybe it's time for you to move on too. And even if it's not, just to focus on you, prioritize you in your life and being the best version of you. And if you're doing everything you can to be the best version of you, you're going to be a hell of a lot busy and too busy to notice what your ex is up to. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about Upside. Upside allows me to get cash back so easily on everyday purchases. With inflated prices for gas and groceries these days, it's so nice to get cash back since you can't just cut these purchases out of your budget. Their app is so easy to use, and I always use my cash back on coffee, Target, groceries, etc. So to get started, download the free Upside app, then you'll claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. You'll pay as usual with credit or debit card, follow the steps in the app, and get paid. In comparison to credit card loyalty programs, and you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. So download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPYHOUR to get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. That's an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas using promo code HAPPYHOUR. Now let's get back into the episode. This says how to get used to a nice guy after so many toxic relationships. I saw another one that was like how to let someone that's good in after toxic relationships. So, I understand that if you've had a lot of toxic relationships, you probably, it's like a lot of trauma and you have your guard up, and I get that. But I think if you are recognizing within yourself that this is a good person and a nice guy and it's different this time, and you've given yourself enough time with them to really like feel it out, and you feel like you really trust them, how to get used to them and let them in is just by being brave enough to be like, okay, I trust them and this is hard for me and feels really scary and my guard's up because of X, Y, and Z. And I think being really honest with them and being like, I've been through this, this, and this, bear with me, I need some extra time, I need some reassurance, I need some, whatever it is that you feel like you need, like let them know. But also getting used to it, I feel like I often hear, I've seen on TikTok as well, that girls will be like, oh, I think I'm bored in a relationship. That can be a common thing after a lot of toxic relationships. And I saw a TikTok of a girl being like, no, what you're feeling is not bored. What you're feeling is safe. And don't get those things confused. Because when you're used to relationships with a lot of toxicity, if you are yelling at each other, screaming at each other, emotionally abusive, even physically abusive, oh my gosh, I can't imagine if you are like breaking up a lot, getting back together a lot, if it's very volatile and hostile, if that's what you're used to, then a normal relationship where you love one another, trust one another, support one another, it feels like a really like deep, caring friendship, romantic, like day in and out, I feel like it's not that hostile and it's not that volatile and it's not that crazy, and it's more of like a long-term, safe, feeling like home kind of person in relationship. And so you just have to remind yourself of that and think, oh, that crazy like breakup and then get back together and it's really passionate. It's stuff like that is not actually what you want. What you want is like the long term, if it is what you want, I'm assuming a long term relationship, a husband, father of your children. You know what I mean? So you just have to remind yourself, I'm not bored. This isn't wrong just because it's new. I'm maybe feeling safe and content and happy. So yeah, I think that's good advice. And I think a lot of people that have been through really crazy relationships can relate to that. This says, best ways to keep a relationship exciting after being together for a long time. Another thing was how to keep the spark alive. I saw a lot of questions like that, how to stay in love after a while, keep dating each other, stay romantic, all those things. And I have a lot of thoughts on this because, like I said, we've been together almost 5 years. So I feel like that's a pretty long time. It's funny because if I probably will look back and be like, what did I know? Not even like 5 years into dating. And I'm sure after 10 years together or after being married for a while, I probably would have like maybe different answers, but actually maybe not, because I feel like what I kind of said, how to keep dating one another, is advice that I've heard from a lot of our friends that are married, which is the best thing to do when you've been together a while is to keep dating each other and keep trying and putting in that effort, because that can sort of slip away after being with someone for a while. Like I was saying before, you could feel really comfortable in the groove. It could be like, good morning, I love you, you have coffee together, bye, go to work, make dinner together, chat about your day, go to bed, do it all over again. It could feel like monotonous, right? So what you have to do to keep the spark alive is to keep novelty in your relationship and keep surprising one another. If it's with gifts, if it's surprise, think of all the love languages. If it's surprising them with an act of service, maybe you folded their laundry, maybe you got them a coffee, gift giving, got them a little something that reminded you of them, sent them a text, words of affirmation, hey, I really liked your outfit this morning. I don't know, whatever it could be, like all those little things in a relationship really add up, and I feel like can slip over time. You can forget to give your partner words of affirmation, give them compliments because you're so used to one another. You can forget to do acts of service for one another, pick them up a coffee, think of them, and you just have to push yourself to do all those little things because they make all the difference and they can keep you in love. And keep dating one another, going on dates physically, especially what I hear from my friends that have kids. We don't have kids, but if you have kids, it's that much harder to physically leave the home, leave the kids behind, get a babysitter, childcare. That's obviously 100 times harder when you have kids. You can't just like pick up and leave. But if you can put in the effort to be, okay, once a month, we have a babysitter come, we're going to go to dinner, even if it's just for 2 hours to really like connect with one another, uninterrupted quality time. That is my love language through and through, quality time, date night. I always feel so much closer to my partner. Like we could catch up if we're behind on anything, talk about anything, goals, what's going on in life. And yeah. So keep dating one another, keep surprising one another, putting in the effort. And I think just living every day with a mindset of prioritizing your partner and never losing sight of them and making decisions with them in mind, just thinking of them every day. Like little things that Max and I do for each other, for example, that really, I think, just shows each other that we care when we could just as easily not do them. You know what I mean? They're little things. I've said this before and I know it's so dumb, but Max, and I'll do it sometimes too, but I feel like it's really like 80-20 here. He always puts toothpaste on my toothbrush, and I know that's so dumb and little, but it makes me smile every single time I walk in the bathroom in the morning. If he's put toothpaste on my toothbrush, or if I get up before him and I put toothpaste on his toothbrush, you walk in the door, turn on the light, and you smile because you're like, oh, my partner thought of me. It's so tiny, but it just like reinforces our vibe that we think of each other. Max fills up my water bottle every single night, and I get into bed, my water bottle's on my nightstand filled with like ice water. And I'm like, oh, he thought of me, you know, just really, really little quick things. And it's just as easy to not do that when he fills up his water bottle or to not put toothpaste on my toothbrush. But yeah, we're talking very minuscule here. We try to give each other compliments. I feel like we'll also just be honest with each other. If he's like, oh, you look so beautiful today, I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, I could do some more of that. I feel like you haven't been like doing that lately. You know, you could say things like that. You could leave each other little notes. You could pick them up a coffee. We like to do that for each other. Unexpected. It always means a lot. Oh, I'm actually thinking of yesterday. He came home. I didn't even know that he picked up lunch for himself. And we've been loving chicken salad recently. And he was like, here you go. Got me a chicken salad wrap for lunch. And I hadn't even had lunch yet. And I was so hungry and I ate it really quick and it meant so much to me. My love language is also food, apparently, because he always makes food for me. If he cooks for me, I literally feel so loved. Cook your partner a meal, pick them up lunch, and sometimes don't even ask them, because I feel like sometimes I'll be like, oh, if you had a coffee this morning, could I get you one? And it's like, doesn't even matter, just get it for them. Even if they had a coffee, I'm sure they'll drink this one because they're so happy that you got it for them. If not, you can split it later. You can drink it, whatever it is. You know, if I had already had lunch, maybe I would have that later for dinner. You know, it just... showing that you care means a lot. We love acts of service, if you couldn't tell. So yeah, that's how to keep the spark alive. And I think just staying, I have so much advice on this. I can make a whole episode on this. Staying fun, keeping fun at the core of your relationship and playful and young and going on dates to Topgolf, like playing games, like go play cards, go... play pickleball together. Keeping fun at the core of your relationship to laugh and like try new things together, activities, is gonna feel like really good in your relationship. And also to me feels like quality time, aka I feel loved. So yeah, I'm also thinking of a TikTok I saw of a wedding photographer and maybe photographer, and she was saying in like the 11 years she's done it, whatever, that she's noticed in the really successful couples that she's seen stay together, they all have a couple things in common. And one of them was, she was like, they seem very giddy and almost act like teenagers and very in love. And I can catch them like sneaking glances at each other and giggling and having their arms around one another, smacking each other in the butt, like little things like that. Like, staying like playful and in love, like all those little things really add up. Just think, do all the love languages, like keep doing that and you're going to stay in love. Hold their hand when you're walking somewhere, put your arm around them, even if it's like you put their hand on their shoulder, like little things, just sitting next to them, like get scooch closer and have your leg touch theirs. And it just keeps that connection, you know? That's my advice on that. I talked forever about that. This says, is it true that relationships shouldn't be hard? I think yes and no. I think that relationships shouldn't be too hard in the beginning, because if it seems like you're up against a lot of obstacles and it's not working and there's a lot of maybe like lifestyle differences or non-negotiables that are not going to change and it's really hard, maybe it's not going to work. But also, I don't think that it's true that relationships shouldn't be hard. I think it's true that relationships can be hard and that they will take hard work over time. I think sometimes it's hard work to everything we were saying before, to stay in love, right? Especially if you have kids, if you're going through a lot of very stressful time, you have a lot of stuff going on with work, home, family, children, friends, hobbies, whatever it is. If there's like a hard time in your life, your relationship could slip to the back burner. So it takes that much more effort when maybe you're exhausted, tired after a long day, a lot going on, to think of your partner and fold their laundry, cook them a meal, chat with them, stay up late and have quality time with them, whatever it is, put in the effort for the date night when other things seem so hard. So I think it is hard work, and it can be hard work having hard conversations and when there's like obstacles in life you have to combat together, you know? So I think that they shouldn't be too hard in the beginning. Take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, it depends on like the circumstance. Maybe there's just like a hard situation in the beginning that you have to get through in life. If, I don't know, if one of you personally is going through a really hard time mentally, or you lose someone in your life. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if there's extenuating circumstances. But I just think that like fundamentally, there shouldn't be huge fundamental problems. That shouldn't be hard. It should feel like natural and easygoing to be together. But I do think that they will require hard work, if that makes sense. This says, do you believe in right person, wrong time? And I think that I do. I do and I don't. I do in the way that, you know what? I do. Maybe it depends on the stage of life. I believe in right person, wrong time if you are going into college. If you have just graduated college, that's pretty much it probably, because I'm thinking how, or if it's like for the right reasons to be part, like career wise, family. So, okay. I think it could be right person, wrong time. If, say, Max and I were going into college right now and we were dating and like all of high school, whatever it was, and we feel like we align really well together, we love spending time together, like our values really align, what we want in life, healthy, all the things, but we're going to college on like opposite coasts and we really want to work on our independence, really be immersed into college, not have to be sad, visiting each other long distance, FaceTime each other, experience new things if we've only ever dated each other. I think that could be right person, wrong time, and maybe you could take a break or break up all of college, whatever it is, reconnect later in life, or say it's after college and you both are on like really strict career paths. Say you both want to be doctors and you get into med school on one coast, they get into med school on the other coast, and you really want to focus on that and that's your priority right now. And you could be like, let's take a break, focus on us. You never know what happens in the future. I think that could be right person, wrong time. I think there's like extenuating circumstances. Or I think if you're like, listen, I think it's fair to be like a non-negotiable as I'm never going to leave, say it's my hometown. I'm extremely close with my family. And say you both feel that way. It's like, okay, that could be, well, that might not even be the right person then if you're never going to make it work, but that could be right person. And then maybe later in life you move for a job to where they're, I don't know, you know? So I think it can be that. But then on the flip side, I feel as though that if it is the right person, you will make the sacrifice of compromise. And if that's moving somewhere for your job together, moving somewhere for their job together, being long distance for a little bit, figuring it out in a year. Like, I think you can make it work. So then maybe it just wasn't the right person. But I do think it could be right person, wrong time. And that's what whenever any of my friends go through a breakup, we say, this doesn't have to be forever. If you think you made a huge mistake in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, if you both work on yourself a lot, feel like you're a lot healthier this time around, you could get back together. Like, it's never set in stone. So you just have to have faith that if they're meant for you, it will be. What's meant for you will come your way. And if you're meant to be together, you will be. So yes, that's my thoughts on that. Okay, wow, sorry, this is getting so long. I have so much to say about each one, and I'm realizing this is very relationship focused. I feel like the majority of people wanting advice or wanting advice on relationship type things. So I just saved a bunch of other things I was going to talk about for an upcoming episode. Okay, next up, this says, went on a date with a guy who tipped $1 on a $33 bill. It gave me an ick, so I ghosted him. Am I in the wrong? Oh boy, $1 on a $33 bill. Okay, so that should have been at least, I probably would have tipped, I don't know, $7, $8 because, well, that's like even more than 20%. But I just round up, especially because it's such like a low bill. Wait, if you were on a date and it was only $33, where the heck did you go that for two people it was $33? Maybe it was quick, like an ice cream or something, or like McDonald's. Do they even do it? I don't know. That's like seems really cheap for just two. Maybe it was just like cheap drinks or something. Oh yeah, it could have been drinks. But wait, $1? No, that's not good. Okay. So yeah, I'm thinking of my trick that I do. I always move the decimal over and double it. So move it over, that's 3.3, double it, that's 6.6. So I guess you could have done $6.60 to be precise. I would have rounded up to $7 tip. So $1 is like not acceptable. No, that would give me an ick too. And I would just be like, what? Why are you being so cheap? Or I would probably try to make them feel uncomfortable. I'm so toxic. I would try to gaslight them. I try to hurt their feelings. I would probably be like, oh, if you like don't have enough money for the tip, like I can pay for the tip because you can't tip $1. I would literally call them out. I'd be like, oh no, you can't tip $1. Like, that's not right. That's not okay. Wow. If they're going to do that, you know what? That probably speaks to who they are, their character. Maybe they're having a rough day. Maybe they didn't realize. Maybe they're bad at math. I don't know. But I don't think you're in the wrong. I think you're allowed to ghost them off of that. And you know what? If you were like obsessed with them besides this, you probably would have told them, hey, you can't do that. Or, oh, that like scares me. Maybe you would say something. So it tells me also that you probably aren't that obsessed with them. If you're ghosting them off of this, you just find like the one thing they do wrong and you're like, fine, I'm ghosting you. No, but this does seem like a red flag. There's nothing worse than someone that like doesn't tip enough. Like, why? That's not right. That's bad. Unless, I don't know, if your waitress was like horrible and like sweared at you and took an hour for food to come. I don't know. But I just feel like that's really not good. I say you are not in the wrong, sis. Ghost away. But imagine if it was the other way around. If a girl's like, oh, I got ghosted, I would be like, screw him. Okay, this says tips on being in the moment in your relationship and not rushing through all the steps. Okay, I saw a lot like this. Like another girl was like, it's so hard to wait, how to wait for engagement, how to wait for a wedding, how to wait for baby, stuff like that. So if you feel like you want to rush through the steps or you're waiting on that, I guess just be honest with your partner and be like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. These are the things I want. If you've been in a long relationship, you probably already have those conversations. Like, this is where we see for our future. But I think it's just being honest, and you can be like, okay, I'm ready. What are you thinking? Why are you not ready? Like, is there any issues? Like, how can we work on this? But this one in specific is how to be in the moment and not rush. So if you feel like you just want all these things, and maybe especially if it's like pressures around you, people asking, you see other people your age in this sort of step, if it's getting married, getting engaged, having a baby, I think just like you said, to be in the moment in your relationship, you have to remind yourself to be in the moment in the relationship. I always think about this when, because obviously Max and I, maybe it's not obvious, but we talk about getting engaged, getting married, having a family, things like that. We talk about the future in our relationship. And as much as we want all those things, and I'm so excited for those chapters, sometimes, you know, I'll be honest, it can be hard with like people around me, my age, getting engaged, people asking me all the freaking time since we've been together for a while. It can be hard and I can feel like I'm behind or whatever. And maybe I want to rush through the steps, move to the next step like you. But I remind myself in my relationship how I'm doing, and the fact of the matter is I'm happy and I'm good with where we're at. So just remind yourself, if you're happy and everything's good, don't rush and don't stress, because things are going to happen as they should. And I just feel like your time will come. And you also have to remember, what always helps me is, I think, yes, I'm so excited for my engagement era, my bridal era, but I'm also going to look back and be like, oh, remember when we were dating and all our fun memories dating, and we were so young and carefree and less responsibilities, and that was so fun. And what a shame it would have been if the last 6 months, year of me dating, I was just upset all the time, stressed out, wanting to move to the next chapter. I would go back in time and yell at myself and say, be in the moment and enjoy this time. Like, enjoy this time for what it is. You're only in this dating phase once. You're not going to be dating again. You're only this young once and carefree with this little amount of responsibilities. You can't live today again. Like, you only have today. So it's like, literally be present, be in the moment, and just focus on your relationship for what it is. If you're happy and you're doing good, don't compare. Don't let all the little voices of people around you in. And all that matters in your relationship is you and your partner. So don't rush it. And just have those conversations with them, and you'll probably realize, wait, we're good. I'm feeling this like external pressure for whatever reason, but it doesn't matter. What matters is you and your partner. I'm like talking through my own situation as well. This says, handling your boyfriend still being close with all of his ex's best friend's husbands. Wait, okay, let me think about this. Handling your boyfriend still being close with his ex's best friend's husband. Okay, so that's your boyfriend's ex, her, all of her best friend's husbands. Okay, yeah, that's hard, because then if he's with them and then the girls, then that, like, I could see them still being in like the same social scene. So that is really hard. Sorry, that's hard for me to like conceptualize. I hope you guys are following. It's her boyfriend's ex's friend's husbands that he's close with. So it's his guy friends are his ex's husbands. So, oh yeah, that's like tricky. And I think I validate your feelings. That's like annoying. But if they truly are his good guy friends, I would hope that they are supportive of your relationship now and getting to know you and having like a friendship with you and honoring the boundaries of maybe not talking about his ex or being around her and you at the same time. But I think the best thing for you to do is be unbothered. Even if you are bothered deep down, that's fine. But I think for your mental sanity to just be like, oh, have fun with the boys and just not think about if they're with like their wives and that's the ex's friends and maybe the ex is even there. Eh, but I guess you could say to your boyfriend, hey, it makes me uncomfortable if you're like with her and all of them. Like if she's at like a big event that you're at, maybe just like let me know so I'm aware. Just like know. So you know what I mean? So that you know and so that maybe you feel more comfortable that way. But yeah, I think the best move of them all is to be like, oh, she's there. Okay, whatever. I don't care because I'm confident in our relationship and to be kind of unbothered and just focused on your relationship and not worrying about it. And I think all of his friends and those friends will be like, oh, wow, then you, the newer girlfriend, is so cool and just like focused on herself. Like I was saying earlier, prioritizing yourself in a relationship. And living your own life on your own terms. And the ex doesn't matter to you and shouldn't matter to you. So don't focus on it. And yeah, but that is like tricky, especially with like events and stuff. But I think you just have to be aware. And ideally it wouldn't come up often, but if there was like a big like wedding that you're all at, you could be like, okay, well, I know she's going to be here. I know all the guys and the friends and the ex is going to be there and it's going to be okay. And you can be like, hey, and just like be cordial, but you don't have to like be much more than that. Like you don't all have to be besties. You can be like, okay, no, I'm drawing a line that you're in a relationship with me and we don't have to have like a friendship or anything with her, you know? Last but not least, I feel like overwhelmingly, I thought we could end here. The number one question I got was about dating. Finding the one. If you've given up hope, if you are comparing your single self to all your friends and relationships, like the pressure you feel in your 20s, just like dating advice in general. One said do's and don'ts of entering the dating scene. And again, I'm going to try to explain this by painting the picture of the vibe that you should have in this dating era of your life. First of all, don't compare yourself to all your friends in relationships, even though I know it's hard. And honestly, if all of your close friends are in relationships, you cannot really relate to them being single. And I think it's helpful to also have single friends. So maybe try to nurture the relationships you have with your single friends so that you can relate to them. Because the fact of the matter is, if your friends are in like long-term relationships and you're not, you might not relate to them as much. And yes, you're allowed to still be their friend, but if you feel like you can't relate in that way, it could be good to have some single friends as well. And just don't feel like the one girl that said, I've given up hope, or it's too late or too whatever. No, it's not. I promise you will find the one. Your love is out there. And do enter the dating scene optimistically, hopeful. Don't enter jaded, feeling like you'll never find the one, being too picky, things like that. Just be very open-minded. But also I want you to have the vibe that you're very about yourself, because I feel like it's very attractive when someone is very driven in their own way. Like think of what you are attracted to in a guy and do that in yourself. Be very driven in your career and your life and your hobbies. Have your own routine, friends, things like that. And be so dedicated to that that you're like, I'm just doing me over here and I'm great and I'm full on my own. But yes, I am looking for a life partner and a companion to live life with and to go through life about, but like you're okay on your own, not like you're desperately searching for someone to complete you, not that vibe, but you like, we always say that cliche quote that like, right as you're full on your own, you find your person, you can't find love until you love yourself, that whole thing. But I want you to be so about yourself and so loving with yourself on your self-love journey that finding a partner that like fits into that makes sense. And that person is also really driven. You guys are both really independent. There's no like codependent. There's no like desperation. It's just like, hey, we like spending time together. We have a lot of fun. We really respect one another. We share a lot of the same values, but we also have our own lives and our own thing going on. And I think that's like a great recipe for success. And I just think when entering the dating scene, You can be so excited if you meet someone. You can like throw all your plans and promises to yourself, maybe even your friends, to the wayside and just spend time with this person. And as enticing as that is, you don't want to do that because you have your confidence by those promises to yourself. Like, I just always think back to college. I would like skip my yoga class thinking that this boy would text me. And in retrospect, that was the worst thing I could have done for myself, because the most attractive thing and the best thing I was doing for myself was going to the yoga class, keeping the promises I made to myself, showing myself that I'm independent, can do things on my own, confident, and that I'm someone that is ready to like add another partner into the mix and in a relationship. So you want to keep all those promises and you want to keep your friends first and, you know, not be too available and do like, I'm just so like, this is what I always tell my friends. Don't be too available. Don't be too convenient. Make them work for a little bit. And that'll just all come naturally. If you're like, oh no, I'm busy today. Like I have, you know, a birthday dinner with my girlfriends, or, oh no, like I have a workout class at that time. Sorry, I can't get lunch, or, but I could do this day instead. And yeah, I just think that way your lives will like come together easier and you won't lose sight of yourself and your identity. And oh, I have like so much advice. This is already getting long, but I guess the last thing for entering the dating scene and feeling like, oh, I'm not going to find my person, blah, blah, whatever. Like dating apps, you like them or you don't. I think there's like a time and place. You can always try those out if you're really feeling like I'm not in a position where I'm meeting people, but think about the person that you want to meet and where they would be. And if you love pickleball per se and you want to find someone to play pickleball with, go play pickleball a ton. I'm sure you're going to be meeting people at the pickleball courts that also like pickleball. Or if you love reading, maybe like hang out at the library more or in like a coffee shop and try to like meet people. You know, just like put yourself in situations more in public where you could meet someone. Go out more to the bars, maybe. Maybe, I don't know if you want to meet someone at a bar, but you could. You never know. I don't know. Say yes to double dates. Be with your friends and their partners and their friends. I just think you have to put yourself out there as much as you can to really say that you tried. And yeah, I really like that idea of like, if you want to find someone that has similar interests, run with those interests of yours. And if you love yoga, keep going to those yoga classes. I'm sure there will be some people in there that you might be interested in that you see a couple times. You could be like, hey, I think we're on the same schedule. I keep running into you here. What's your name? You can make friends that way. It could even turn into a relationship. You never know. So just keep your options open. You never know where you could meet your future partner. And you also never know if it's someone you may already know. I feel like it's always when you least expect it. And it is that way because that's fully when you are leaning into your relationship with yourself, in self-love and prioritizing yourself and living your own life and hanging with your friends and your family and your support group in that way and just thriving in every other aspect. And then someone stumbles along into your life and you're like, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? Right as I'm okay on my own thriving, here they are. So I feel like it always ends up happening that way. So just like keep your options open and be friendly, but don't have like a desperate energy. Although I know that's hard because I've had those moments of like, I just want a boyfriend, especially if you are used to a relationship. But I feel like if you have that desperate energy of like, where's my boyfriend? Is he my boyfriend? Is he my boyfriend? Is that gonna be my boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it is? That's when you won't find them. And you just need to, like I've said for the last 5 minutes, focus on you. And that powerful feminine energy will attract all that it needs to in your life. But I hope this was helpful for you guys. That is some of my advice. We could do more of these if this is helpful, if you guys like this. I literally always have an opinion, like I said, in these situations. And wow, this is really like relationship focused, but on like any situation, anyone could tell you, I'm the one to tell my friends, do this, say this, don't say that, stick up for yourself, you got this. So yeah. Take this with you into the rest of your day, into your week. Love you guys so, so much. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you in my next episode.